Report Coronavirus Update. I'm Christopher Cruz. The U.S. Navy says a member of an aircraft carrier crew hospitalized in intensive care in Guam last week has now died of COVID-19-related complications. The sailor was among nearly 600 crew members of the USS Theodore Roosevelt to have tested positive for the virus. Good Morning America's George Stephanopoulos said this morning that he has been infected with the coronavirus.
Well, I've gone back over the last several weeks to think about what could it have been. And then there was one night several weeks ago where I went to bed early with some lower back pain. I actually thought it was from a hard workout that day, and it cleared up the next morning. And then several days after that, I had one day where I had a diminished sense of smell, but that's really been it.
His wife, the journalist Allie Wentworth, has also been infected. She says she's never felt sicker. At least 41 grocery store workers have died of the COVID virus. I'm Christopher Cruz. 19 people are dead after strong storms pounded the deep south overnight. The storm system roared through Mississippi, Georgia, Arkansas, and South Carolina. Dozens more people have been pulled from damaged buildings and taken to hospitals. Correspondent Martin Savage is in Cartersville, Georgia.
The fatality that occurred in this community actually occurred about a block away. It was around 1 o'clock in the morning when the storm rolled through this part of the state, and a 34-year-old man died when a tree fell on his home. There are 5 people that are dead in Murray County. That's in northwest Georgia, up on the way to Chattanooga. So 6 overall. 4 counties have been impacted. One tornado came very close to striking just outside the city of Atlanta. And then, of course, you start talking about the other states that have been impacted. 11 dead in Mississippi, and at least one other person died in Arkansas.
The storm is now moving into the mid-Atlantic states. The Dow is down about 2% at this hour. I'm Christopher Cruz.
So I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable. But there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian health care sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Your two-bedroom home when you first got married.
This bedroom will make the perfect office.
Your two-bedroom home after your first child.
I can work out of the bedroom. It won't be that bad.
Your two-bedroom home after kid number two.
Honey, are we going to have to sleep on the couch?
Don't move. Improve.
Maybe you don't love your home as much as you did when you first bought it. As your family grows, you outgrow your home. As we spend more time at home during this health crisis, you become more aware of things you need to enhance your home. Kitchen too small and outdated? You might need to add a bathroom or extra bedroom. Whatever your need, Sunnyside Construction has you covered. Now is the perfect time to create the home your family deserves. Call Sunnyside Construction at 785-2285. That's 785-2285. Or visit them online at azsunnyside.com. Ask for the KBLU special, available only to KBLU listeners.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with 4 locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny week with a high of 81 today, 59 overnight tonight, northwest wind at 10. Windy on Tuesday, 81 in sunshine, 56 Tuesday night, north wind at 15. Sunny Wednesday with a high of 84.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm in studio here with Russ Clark and Miranda Ochoa. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, we're just as I walk in, talking to Mel a little bit, and, you know, we almost shook hands and then, you know, backed off. But we talk about cabin fever and how it's difficult now, right? We're a month into this.
That seems longer, but okay.
Doesn't it? Isn't it about a month?
Yeah.
It is.
And so since the schools have closed down, I might be a week off here or there. But kids are at home, moms are going a little bit crazy. You think Christmas is hard to endure, you know, try this.
Although, I think I'm very fortunate. It hasn't affected my life that much like others. Some people are greatly affected, and some are minimally affected.
I'm in the same boat, you know. We've been able to be flexible at our business,
right.
And we've been minimally affected. We've taken a lot of precautions at our office. We've had the good fortune of moving into a bank building.
Right.
That was 3 years ago, and so we had this drive-through function. And we never foresaw that we would use this drive-thru. We joked about it, right? We joked about, you know, drive-thru estate planning services. You drop off your documents, you sit in the drive-thru while we witness you sign, and then we just have you pass them back through the teller's drawer, and then we notarize and witness them and send them back, and you're on your way. That literally is taking place.
Yeah, now it's reality.
It's taking place, what, 10, 15 times a day, Miranda?
About, yep. And it's come in very, very good timing.
it's not only handy, but
yeah.
It's being widely embraced by the community. When we tell clients that they have that opportunity,
a drive-thru.
Yeah.
They're usually hesitant at first. They're usually hesitant to come in, and then they hear that and they get excited.
They do. They say, "Really? You have a drive-thru? Yes, we're going to come on in." Whereas we would think, because what we do is highly personal.
Right.
They like to see us face-to-face, and a major complaint that a lot of people have about law firms or lawyers in particular is that they're impersonal, that they can never get a hold of them, they can never see them once they pay their fee, then they're, you know, away and out of contact. Now, we strive really hard in our firm to make ourselves available, but in these conditions, we've got to maintain that social distancing, and especially with our clientele, we have a lot of elderly clients that might be high risk and highly susceptible to this coronavirus. So we take that very seriously, and when we tell them of the opportunity to do the drive-thru, some still say we want the mask and the gloves on, and we do that, right, Miranda?
Uh-huh.
So what is our protocol? Why don't you just give us a little scenario about what somebody can expect if they wanted to drop off or pick up documents?
So right in the drive-through area, we have about 3 to 4 paralegals back there at a time. So whenever they drive through, it's pretty quick once they start talking to a paralegal. But we have extra gloves by the window, and we have sanitizing things like Lysol wipes and things like that around the area. That way we could sanitize everything that we're handing to them. But yeah, we have that little drive-through, and they just flip the documents in or out, and everything. We have that huge window, so if we need witnesses while we're signing the documents, we have the other paralegals come in and witness, and it's super simple.
You've had this since you moved into that building, but you've never used it, right?
No, other than the occasional burrito drop-off.
Okay, just for fun.
my kids have probably sent more lizards and crickets through that than anything else. Before a month ago.
Now it's business.
And now it's regular business. And it's actually worked really well. The complaints that we're getting now is that they are waiting in one lane for 20 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll call up on the cell phone and say, "Hey, you know, let's move this along. What's going on?" And just so you know, if you're going to go through the drive-thru, all 3 bays are open. So the other 2 bays are tubes. They're not, you know, there's one with the drawer that opens directly out, and we put on the gloves and the mask for the use of the drawer. because despite the bulletproof glass, we're putting on some extra precautions. And so you can go through bay 2 or 3, just push the little call button right after you swab it down with your Clorox wipe, and we will answer and receive your documents, notarize the documents, send them back to you, and make sure that you get the planning that you need. So we're taking precautions. Now, we were able to be very flexible. There are some people that aren't able to be flexible like that.
Why?
I have a dozen friends that their businesses are closed down. And what they're facing right now is a decision between everything they worked their entire life for in establishing their career and their business, and their, most of them have 10 or more employees, laying them off, or either getting some sort of relief from the government as far as the restrictions on the business operations, or some alternative out there. Now, I don't know what the alternative is, but it's getting real. This is a real crisis, and I like to look at it from different points of view. Think about it this way. If there was a dirty bomb that went off in San Diego, right, and radioactive contamination
right.
that was going on. Now, what's the whole point of a dirty bomb?
To keep people from using the area. The area would be evacuated.
Right, and hysteria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's terrorism. That's right. What terrorism is to create hysteria, to create distrust in how our society works. And once distrust is infused and there's a lack of confidence about how our society can run, then it starts to implode. It starts to collapse. And that's the way the terrorists win. Now, that's not the case here. There isn't a dirty bomb. But if we were to look at it from that point of view and say, okay, we know the terrorist mentality. We know that some people are going to be affected by this. How are we going to react? Are we going to be proactive? Or are we going to go button up and hide under our bed? And I don't know the solution here because this isn't that exact scenario, but we are facing livelihoods being lost. We are facing people not being able to fulfill and carry out the careers that they studied and put in a lifetime of work to establish. And the government is saying that there's bailouts available. Most of those, I haven't heard of any bills passing that are going to give direct loans to the businesses for all the lost income for the businesses. I've seen a lot for the employees, which is absolutely fantastic.
Employees and rent, possibly, and some other things, low interest.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not.
But how does
that's
the business
back
owner?
To work.
Yeah, how does a business owner take home and put food on his table because he's not an employee?
Right.
Right. So. It becomes very tricky, and I don't think that it's black or white. I don't think that you're good or bad when you take a position, hey, I need to get back to work, and, you know, we need to make this happen. A lot of people label you as inconsiderate of those who are highly susceptible because maybe you won't die of the coronavirus, but maybe you'll spread it to somebody else who is highly susceptible, or you'll cause a spread to be uncontainable.
Possibly,
but there's a balance that's got to be weighed there.
We really don't know a lot about it yet, and we're taking precautions that may not be necessary. We don't know.
Right. So I think there needs to be discussion, and I think there needs to be a lot more participation from just the grassroots participating in. Okay, what is a solution? How can we be flexible? Our business was fortunate in that we were able to be flexible and safe.
Because yours is essential, so you're allowed to be open.
And we're allowed to be open, and that's another thing, because others aren't allowed to be open.
If you're a dentist, you can't be a dentist today on preventive, only if they have pain.
Right.
Which, that's what dentists do, is preventive. So you're basically shut down unless somebody, you know, has an infection.
Absolutely right. And so if you're a dentist and you're facing missing your mortgage payments,
yeah.
Not being able to buy groceries, not being able to make student loan payments.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of the student loans have been postponed, but groceries, if you show up to Walmart or Albertsons, they're not giving you free groceries yet. And so that's a very difficult question to be asked. And a lot of these businesses, they put in millions, literally, of dollars of investments to keep that business up and going. And there are so many ways that they have to diffuse that money to keep the business going that a government program comes in with one loan to pay for employee salaries. That's not going to cut it. It's got to be something else. And
what's going to cut it for you, Sean? What's going to do it? What do you want?
Well, that's a good question. I
like your talk about grassroots, and keep in mind, our orders in this state are from the state, not from the feds.
Right.
The state. That's Governor Ducey. So what would you ask of Governor Ducey?
I think that we rebalance where we are currently. We don't set long-term deadlines. We set day-to-day benchmarks as to what we can accomplish.
By county or by state?
Well, with the governor, it's got to be by state.
He's got the freedom to...
He does, but I think that overall, he's got to take over the big picture.
But it's not one size fits all. We don't have a county issue that has the same issue as Maricopa.
True.
Has different issues than Yuma. We're rural.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's other counties like that,
yeah.
You know, that are in that same situation. I don't have the answer, but what I really fear is that when we give up our freedom to go to work...
Yes. I don't like your answers because you don't have them, but that's okay. You at least have questions, and that's what we need more of.
Right.
People to question.
I think we got a question rather than blindly acquiesce.
Right now you need to take a break.
Okay.
We can question later.
This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
If you're interested in a career in media sales, El Dorado Broadcasters has an opportunity for you. A media sales representative designs multimedia market solutions for their clients, including radio advertising, digital solutions, event sponsorships, and more. If you have experience in outside sales and calling on many different accounts, then you already have a great start into the business. Every business has to advertise. If you have media sales experience, that's even better. This is not a commission-only sales position. We'll give you a salary, train you, and you'll make commissions on your very first sale. If you like what you hear, call 928-344-4980. That's 928-344-4980. Successful media sellers make an excellent living, and with hard work, it won't take long for you to get there. Ready to join the world of media sales? Send your resume to hiremenow@edbroadcasters.com. That's hiremenow@edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
Listen every Wednesday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for Chamber Chatter, focusing on nothing but the good stuff from Yuma Chamber of Commerce. Hosted by John Curtis, Executive Director. Brought to you by Nationwide Vision, serving Arizona for over 30 years.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. We left off talking about what we ought to do. When do we get back to work, and at what point is the government cracking down and enforcing laws that keep us home from work and sacrificing our careers and economy for safety of everybody? When does that outweigh the damage that the coronavirus is going to do? I don't have the answer to that, but I'm going to go on to something else that I do have the answer to. How about that?
That
It's all right with me.
How's that for a political dodge? So my topic for today, for today's show, is nothing valuable is easily obtained, and I think everybody understands that and agrees with that. I looked up the definition of valuable when I was kind of putting this together, outlining this morning, and I came up with the Webster's definition, and there were some fancy definitions in there, but basically what it comes down to is something that is very desirable, that a lot of people want, but it's hard to get. Right? If it's hard to get and people want it, it's valuable. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a rock.
It is that simple, isn't it?
And it often is a rock, if you think about it. Uh-huh. Right? But it's very valuable because it's hard to get and people want it. So,
scarcity.
Scarcity creates value. Absolutely. So, here, I'm going to talk about values in general and building character. I went on a camping trip this weekend. And the reason I went on a camping trip is because my son, my second oldest, turned 15 years old on April 9th. And I asked him what he wanted for his birthday early on in the week, and he said he wanted to go camping. Now, what camping for us, for me, isn't just, you know, driving up to an RV spot and, and putting out. Now, that's fun, and I've done that with the whole family. But my son, when he's talking to me, Dad, you and I ought to go camping. We're talking about, you know, getting out there in a remote location.
Camping to my ex-wife was a hotel that didn't have a concierge.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you what, I love the RV camping. And anytime the family, the little kids or the wife are coming along, they love the RV. And I've done the RV, and it's a wonderful way to go. But my son wanted to rough it, okay? He wanted an adventure. Wow. That's what he was looking for, okay? So my job was fairly simple. I had three things that I had to do. I had to find a good destination. Right. I had to get off of work Friday at 3 p.m. or earlier. Right. And then I had to take him. So that was basically it, because he wanted to invite two friends, two of our neighbors, and he and the two friends are Eagle Scouts. So the preparation was up to them. The boat hasn't been out this year, and he wanted to go boat camping. He wanted to go up the river and find a nice remote location and go camping up the river and go fishing. And it turned out we wanted to go bow fishing. So, yeah, it was going to be really cool. And so I said, okay, good. Get the boat ready, and he did. He went and took the cover off, got it all cleaned out, made sure that everything was charged up, the batteries were charged, ready to go. And it's not a huge boat. It's about a 22-foot boat, about 2,500 pounds. And so we're planning on going up the Colorado River, putting in at Martinez Lake. And my destination was this point about 10 miles past Picacho, okay, just outside the Picacho recreational area. And to camp there and just do some remote camping. And so he and his two friends, and then one of the fathers of his two friends, which happens to be a good friend of mine, we all agreed, okay, we're going camp, and it's going to be on this day. So he got prepared. They packed. They got the grocery list of things, of the food that we were going to have. They put together the meal plan, and we got everything going. Loaded the boat at 4 p.m. on Friday night. So I got off at 3, loaded at 4. We headed out to Martinez Lake, and we put in the boat and started up the river. We hit the first sandbar immediately when we got on the river. As soon as we got through Martinez Lake, we hit a sandbar. And I talked to a lot of friends in preparation of going on this, because I wanted to go up the river. And I've run into sandbars quite a bit. I'm no stranger to sandbars. But usually there's a passable route. Usually if you can kind of navigate up where the river has worn away more of the sand, and you can make your way up. But the river's been so high recently because of a lot of rain that the entire bottom has been washed flat. And then it's lowered about, I would say, 2 to 3 feet in the past week or two.
Oh.
And so what's happened is these sandbars are all the way across the river. So we hit the first sandbar at 5 p.m. And We had a long trip ahead of us. Normally, it takes me about 20 minutes to get to Picacho, which is 10 miles upstream from Martinez Lake. And we had to dig through that first sandbar. We went up past that. We hit another sandbar. We hit a half a dozen sandbars, had to get out, push sometimes, but it wasn't, going upriver, it wasn't as bad because the sandbars, the ledges are more visible, and when you hit them, it's a more abrupt stop, so you got to brace for impact.
It sounds like fun.
It's fun. You don't want to be in front of any sharp objects when you're going upriver. But when you hit a sandbar, you can back out because... We haven't driven up all the way up on it.
The high spot's what you hit, not the low spot.
Yeah, exactly. And so we can back out, and then we can kind of go back and forth around the river until we can find some place that's washed out a little bit, and we can drive up that. And so we do that, and it takes us 4 hours, 4.5 hours, to get 10 miles up to Picacho. And it's raining, and I'll tell you, I was warned about this. First of all, I knew what the weather was going to be like. And as I was leaving the office, I had, and each of my team members were saying, hey, it's going to rain. And they didn't, you know, they're dispersed, you know, social distancing. They're all in different little areas. Hey, it's going to rain. You know that, right? I heard you're going camping. It's going to rain. Yes, I know it's going to rain. By the time I hit the door, I'm getting my fifth warning that it's going to rain and telling me not to go camping. So I just announced loudly to everybody, I know it's raining. I don't care. I'm going camping. So that's it. You know, we've decided to go camping, and we're going to do this thing. Well, now at 9 o'clock at night, as it's raining, and we're fighting on the last couple of sandbars, I'm thinking, that might have been advice that I could have adhered to. But
Didn't matter.
No, I would have went anyway. Nah. So we get up there, and we get to the Picacho Recreational Park, okay? Now, it's closed down because it is on the California side of the river. And it's not just closed. It's every park bench has caution tape on it.
Wow.
And says, you know, due to the coronavirus, you cannot enter here.
Unexpected by you?
No.
Okay.
No, it's California. So, anyway... We get there, and I was planning on going 10 miles more up the river because our destination is 20 miles past Martinez Lake up the river, but it just wasn't possible. It was 9:30 at night. The rain was starting to come a little bit sideways, and everything else was going sideways too. So we decided we needed to pitch camp there. Wow. So we beached the boat, and we get out. These boys are incredible, okay? One of them is 13 years old. My son just barely turned 15, and his other friend just barely turned 15. But they unload all their gear. I didn't lift a finger for pitching camp on their end. Now, my buddy and I, we pitched our own tent, and they got theirs pitched first. Okay, but it's not a competition, right?
Sure it is.
So they got their tent pitched. They got their sleeping bags in. They were warm, cozy. So we got our tent pitched, and we started cooking dinner, and everything went good. You know, we had actually a really good time. It rained, and the tents were blowing around, but we had a good time. About 8 a.m., the park rangers pulled up, and they didn't want to get too close to us, but they let us know that the campground was closed. And I let them know. I said, listen, we had a decision to make. Kind of like what we were talking about earlier.
You were stranded. It wasn't a matter of plan. You were stranded.
Yeah, we had to make camp. And I said, we're gonna clean up camp here, and we're gonna take off. But it was 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. It was raining, and I got, you know.
They didn't handcuff you, did they?
No, they were afraid to come near me. All I had to do was a couple hard coughs, and yeah, we were out in the clear. But no, I explained to them the situation. They were gracious about it. They left, and we did. We packed up, we cooked some breakfast, and we got back on the river. Now, we had two challenges on the way back.
So you started coming back to Martinez. Okay.
And that's basically if you want to define a camping trip for me, it's preparing, the travel out there, the setting up, the taking down, and the traveling back. That's the camp out.
That's all the work, right there.
It's just all work most of the time for camp outs. And my son loves every bit of it.
That's good.
And sometimes, you know, once we get it set up, the adults, they usually crash around the fire and they're just hanging out. And the kids are out roaming around and either fishing or adventuring.
Right.
And I don't know how they get the energy. Of course, they sleep it off for the next 2 days. But they were doing that, and so we got camp packed up, and we got back in the boat. Now, we had two major obstacles that lay ahead of us. One was that we had a deadline to meet. My friend who came with us, he was planning on a baptism for his son.
Okay.
At 2 p.m.
In the river.
Not in that river. No, he was going to do it in his swimming pool.
Okay.
Because the church, you could do it at the church, but he just decided not to do it at the church.
So 2 p.m. the following day?
That Saturday.
Okay.
So, yeah, the following day after we got up there. So we get on the river at 9:30 in the morning, and we're thinking, okay, it took us 4.5 hours to get up, but we did it. And now we know where the sandbars are. We can kind of, right? Well, the river dropped at least a foot overnight. And my boat is 2,500 pounds. It's not something that you pick up and lift.
No.
And we've got 750 pounds of bodies in the boat, and we've got 750 pounds of gear in the boat weighing it down. So we're going down the river, and we hit sandbars even harder and more frequently, and that's because obviously the river is lower. And coming downriver, the sandbars come up gradual.
Yeah.
You don't hit them just one all at once. But when you do hit them, you look around, and there's a sandbar for 100 feet all the way around you. Once you're high center,
you're beached.
Yeah, you can't turn the boat around and go back upriver. You have to figure out a way to go sideways to try to find a channel to get out. How are we doing on breaks?
You gotta go.
Okay.
You can, because I'm curious where you're going to end up. If you even made it back, I'm surprised you're here.
Yeah.
But you got to take a break. Okay.
Well, I was right on time here. So 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Hey everyone, News 11, Dominique Newland here with your latest headlines. The Yuma County Public Health District has confirmed the first death due to coronavirus. There are currently 20 confirmed cases countywide, and the illness has now taken one life. And here's where numbers stand locally. Once again, there are at least 20 confirmed total coronavirus cases in Yuma County, with one death. Out of the confirmed cases, 7 of those patients are female and 13 are male. The highest majority of patients being between the ages of 18 and 39 years old. As for Imperial County, the total number of cases there stands at 87. Of those, the Imperial County Health Department says 59 are considered active cases, 25 have recovered there, and there have been 3 deaths in the valley. In the state of Arizona, there are currently over 3,300 confirmed cases of coronavirus, resulting in 115 deaths. As always, you can catch me on Sunrise for all your latest headlines. Have a great rest of your day.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Decent Garner and Hanson, and I'm in studio live with Miranda Ochoa and Russ Clark. Miranda is office manager at Decent Garner and Hanson.
Did she go on with you on the boating trip?
No.
So what you messed out on?
I know.
Yeah. Would you have wanted to?
It sounds fun.
Really?
In the middle of the rain?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You're adventuresome.
So, I'm thinking we're fine. We got 4.5 hours to get back and
still make it
in time. And we're going to be okay. And my friend, he's got his wife to face when he gets back.
That's a big deal.
And he's like, we really need to step on it here. So we get going, and we hit the first sandbar. And the first one we hit, and I couldn't believe it because I was so confident that we were going to be able to navigate those channels back down. But the first one we hit, we get high-centered, and we look around us, and there was literally 100 yards of shallow water on every side of us. Because we were pitching it right down the middle. We tried to go up the sides by the reeds going up, and it just wasn't happening. Sand was built up everywhere. So I brought the boat up on plane, and you can make it through a lot shallower water when you get the boat up on plane. When you get it going about 15 miles an hour and it's up on plane, the only problem is once you get stuck.
You're stuck,
right?
Because you got all that weight coming down.
You
got a phone call, by the way.
Okay.
You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh.
Yes.
Jacob.
Hello. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. This Jacob House.
Yes, sir.
344-5280.
5258. 5258. You got the wrong number.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. There you go. You finally got a call.
So... That was more than we received on the river. When we were stuck on this, we're looking around, and we're like, okay, what do we got to do? We got to find the nearest channel, and at this time, we look near the reeds. The reeds have about 1.5 feet worth of water near them, whereas where we're at, we're in about 1 foot to at 0.6 inches of water because we had hydroplaned up onto the sandbar, and so we start pushing. We get it over to the sandbar.
You can pull the boat over. I mean, that's a lot of boat to pull, even with five of you. That's
a lot.
Massive.
So what we had to do is we had to rearrange all of our gear. We had to get out, and we had to lift and push at the same time and get that boat scooting. And we could get about 3 foot per push. So we go 1, 2, 3, push, and it would go about 3 feet. Sometimes it would go 6 inches. Sometimes we get a break, and it would go 10 feet. But we would push and push. And it took us probably 1.5 to 2 hours to get off that sandbar.
The first one.
The very first one that we hit. So we're like, holy smokes, this is the real deal. So what do you do? I gotta hydroplane again to get up as high as I can on the water.
Yeah.
And if you start to get beached, what you can do is you can turn hard right or left. And it'll lift your prop up a little bit more out of the water. It'll hit the side of the boat, so it'll bring it a bit more out of the water. You're hydroplaning a little bit more.
Right.
And it'll give you time to turn around and try to find a channel to get into. And so we were trying that strategy, and we hit another sandbar. And it took us another 1.5 hours. And so the boys, they're pushing, and we're doing the 1, 2, 3 push. And our hands are literally getting blistered and sore from lifting and pushing this boat. But through it all, nobody's complaining.
Right.
And nobody's saying, hey, that's it. We're calling it in. Let's call our moms.
And a helicopter.
Yeah. There really isn't an option at that point. We're midway between Picacho and Martinez Lake. And for anybody that knows that stretch of river, there ain't much there. And there was one visitor that came by. He was on a plane, a very small plane, and he went about 10 feet over our head. And I thought, is this a rescue plane?
It's definitely not legal.
It wasn't a rescue plane, but he was cruising down the river, and he went right over top of us. But anyways, those boys pushed and pushed and pushed and didn't give up. We got down to the next channel. The next sandbar we hit was the hardest one. And we literally had to line up, and you know how kids dig in the sandbox, like doggy style dig? Well, we lined up, and we had to dig a trench because this sandbar was so shallow that we couldn't get over the edge of it. It was literally like the water was breaking over the top of the edge of the sandbar. So we had a trench through, and we pushed our boat through that trench.
Straight ahead.
Straight ahead.
Was that better for you?
You know, pushing is pushing.
Okay. I mean, less time to go straight ahead than it was sideways.
It really depended on what other options there were, but in this point, it was kind of between an island in the river and the edge of the river, and the sandbar was stretched straight across from it. There was just no way. And we couldn't see it because the water, when you're going down and you're on hydroplane, and the water's covering the tip of the sand, I mean, you can't see it until you're up on it. And so we hit that one. We pushed through it. We got back to Martinez Lake, and as soon as we got back into the lake, it took a little bit of us going through because we went and we put in at the upper Martinez Lake, not at Fisher's Landing itself, but there's a point at upper Martinez Lake. It takes a little bit of no wake zone to get in there. And the kids broke out the lunch, made lunch on the boat, handed it around, and we were playing music, and it was as if nothing went awry the entire trip.
Awesome.
They were happy, they were exhausted and a bit sunburnt, but we piled back in the car. I dropped my friend off at his house. The baptism was at 2 p.m.
Right.
I dropped him off at 2:01.
Really?
And it was just, by the time we got to shore, I went up and grabbed the car, backed it in, and those boys had the boat ready to go. It was all secured down. They drove it up onto the trailer. I locked it down, drove out of there, and it took us 35 minutes to get from that point to our doorstep. And baptism went on, and
everything was fine.
And I accredit it to three things. Okay, their attitude was absolutely number one. If any one of them would have given up, it would have made it extremely difficult, if not impossible. In fact, there were points when we would count to three. We'd say, 1, 2, 3, push. And I'd stand up and I'd look around and I'm like, what are you isn't pushing? Because we didn't move very far. And it took us all lifting and pushing to get that boat to move. And then we go, okay, let's do it again. 1, 2, 3, push. And so all of us working together to get that boat going, and their attitude, none of them said, I'm out. Right? This is not what I signed up for. I was coming camping, not pushing boats. So that was one major thing. Preparation, they're all Eagle Scouts. They've been through this. Okay? They've set up tents in the rain. They've set up tents in 100-degree heat and slept in 100-degree heat. And they've done it a bunch of times. They've camped dozens of times in all different adverse types of situations. I grew up camping where it was raining almost every time. We were lucky if it just rained. Normally it snowed, right? In northern Idaho. And these boys, they grew up in different circumstances, but their attitude was the same, and it was, we're going to get through this. It might take longer, and it might take a little bit of perspiration, but we're going to get through this. And so that's the last thing, is perspiration. Attitude, preparation, perspiration. You're going to make it through anything.
Will they go again?
I think if I offered to go next weekend, they'd be at my doorstep in a moment. So I know we're up on a break here, but I'm going to make an analogy between that camping trip and estate planning when we come back. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Hello, I am the local owner and operator of Lapel's Dry Cleaning. The impact of the current health crisis is affecting us all, as individuals and as small businesses. As a cleaning facility, Lapel's is considered an essential service, and our doors will remain open. You may know Lapel's is the only 100% environmentally friendly cleaning system in Yuma. What you may not know is we clean items at temperatures you cannot reach at home or in a laundromat. Temperatures that kill any bacteria, including the COVID-19 virus. We are offering a 20% discount on all bedding items, all military and first responder uniforms at our regular 10% off, and as always, free pickup and delivery, so you do not have to leave your home. You can reach Lapel's Dry Cleaning at 928-259-7350. We are here for our community in this trying time. Thank you for supporting locally owned businesses, and stay safe.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspension, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
El Dorado Broadcasters wants to remind you that when you shop local or eat local, the money you spend is re-spent in Yuma 4 to 5 times. A robust local free enterprise economy is essential to our community. It allows Yuma to create jobs and puts food on our family's tables. Now more than ever during the coronavirus crisis, when you're shopping online, getting takeout or delivery, or buying essentials, remember to eat, shop, and support Yuma's locally owned businesses.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner, attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hansen. And yes, we are open for business. We are essential business. We are doing legal planning and doing legal affairs for those that need guardianship and conservatorship. So we're an essential business, but all of those businesses that are non-essential, the question becomes, when is making a living an essential business? Right?
Well, I hope sooner than later. But
right.
You'd have a phone call. You want to take that?
No.
Okay.
No, we're gonna go on with the story for now.
All right.
So we talked about going upriver and hitting these dozen or so sandbars. Now, I didn't talk about all the sandbars that, you know, we hit with full impact and almost launched out of the boat. I just talked about the ones where we got out of the boat and pushed, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, it was, and I bought that boat for that purpose. It was not, it's not an expensive boat. It's a 1992 Commander, right? It's rock solid, but it's meant to go pretty hard on the river. And I called the parents of the boys after we got back from the trip. So when I got back, all the energy that I had left that I could muster was to park that boat and take the duffel bag of stuff that I brought and go inside and shower. That's about it. That's all I had left in me. Well, my son and the two others, they stayed out there, and they unloaded the gear. I didn't ask them to. They could have come back and showered, and the boat was fine. The gear was fine. It was not going anywhere. But they stayed out there. They cleaned it all up, got all the gear put away, and I didn't know that until I woke up at 6 p.m., right? We get back at 2 p.m., I hit my pillow, and I'm out. So I wake up at 6 p.m., and I call the parents of the other boys, and I ask how they're doing, because my shoulders are literally bruised from the pushing, and my shins are chopped up from smacking the boat,
mm-hmm.
and I asked their parents how the kids said the trip went, and every one of them said it was great. They said we got stuck a few times, but it was great. And I was just really impressed.
You should be.
With that attitude. And so they got sunburned, and they were sore and tired, but they had a real good experience. When people come in and they do planning for us, the most popular question that I get is, I want a plan where my kids aren't going to fight, and they're going to appreciate the inheritance that they receive. And that takes the three characteristics that I talked about that got us through that camping trip. And that's attitude, preparation, and then perspiration. Now, the attitude is, the kids need to not expect an inheritance, first of all. You, as a parent, you give them life, you support them for the first 18 years of their life. They're in debt to you indefinitely. Anything that they get from you beyond that point, that's icing on the cake. Now, it's my job and my privilege, and honestly, it's fun. It's what I look forward to doing every day, and that is to help pass on a legacy from one generation to the next, keeping the government's fingers out of the pie as much as possible, keeping the court out of it, keeping other attorneys out of it, helping avoid family disputes by making a clear plan that everybody understands what mom's and dad's wishes are, and that they are legally enforceable, that these are what we're going to do. So that's what I do for a living. But as far as my clients go, I talk to them and I counsel them that their job is to prepare their kids mentally with the attitude that they get what they get.
Right.
And that's it. And so it doesn't have to be equal among all kids. It doesn't even have to go to the kids. It can go to a charity. It can go to some type of organization that they put a lot of time and effort into it, and it established a legacy during their life. And that's what we help them do. And then the perspiration part of it is, there is some action that you've got to take on your side. It just doesn't happen by accident that a plan falls into place. I've rarely seen the plan come in from the fill-in-the-blank forms that work, okay? And maybe it's because they would never come by me because I'm an attorney, and that's, you know, they work. Who knows? Maybe they're 10-to-1 out there. I don't know. But the ones I see don't work. What works is you put in the time and the effort. So let me just give you a brief overview of what you can expect if you're going to put together a proper estate plan. First of all, we've got to understand who your family is and what your relationship is with them, what you want to leave them. So that, we establish the family background. And then we go through and all the assets. We ask about bank accounts. We ask about, and every bank account. If you've got 5 bank accounts at AEA and another 3 at Wells Fargo and another one at Chase, I want to know about every single one, because what we're going to do is we're going to list those bank accounts, because the last thing I want to have happen is a bank account get forgotten about and it goes to the state, or it gets turned over to the unclaimed funds.
And that's what would
department.
Happen.
Absolutely. And it happens, millions of dollars gets turned over all the time. And so I want you to make a list of everything that you have. Now, that doesn't mean bring in all the documentation. That means sit down, and I'm going to pick your brain, and I'm going to ask the types of questions that's going to stir your memory to the types of things that you have. And then I've got a binder that I'm going to hand you. And the binder has 10 tabs in it, and it breaks down those assets into different categories. And the categories are cash accounts, investment accounts, life insurance, real estate, titled vehicles, whether it's toys or whether it's your primary vehicle. And then there's liabilities. income? What sources of income do you receive? And business interests. Do you have a partnership out there? Is there a farm out there? Is there a rental out there that we need to know about? Is it in an LLC that we might not have come across? You know, it's been bringing in income for you for a long time, but your kids might not know about it or where to find the paperwork for it. What other official documents do they need? Your marriage certificate, your DD-214, with honorable discharge from the military, your birth certificate, your driver's license, your Social Security card, your Medicare card, all those things we want to gather together. And then the last one is particular heirlooms that you want to stay in the family, whether it's personal property or whether it's a cabin or whether it's as simple as the medals that your grandpa handed down from World War II. We want to know about those. We put those together. Now, the binder that I give you, there's nothing magical about it. It's a $3.50 binder. But what happens when you actually follow through with the steps is a lot of peace of mind. And we find the assets that you have forgotten about, that life insurance policy that you took out 20 years ago, and now it's paid in full, so you never think about it anymore, but it's $100,000. Right. We want that policy in here so it's not forgotten about, and that insurance company holds on to those funds for years afterwards and then finally turns over the funds to the unclaimed funds department. And so we help people put those types of plans together. We send them back home with a list of all of the assets that they've told us about, and we just want them described in a way that it's clear enough for them to remember what they're thinking about. They don't need to know the name of the life insurance company that they bought the policy from. They just need to know that they have a policy, maybe two or three, and go start looking for some paperwork, and I'll give them the binder to start organizing that. Next time when they come back, I've organized their plan. We've set together who gets what, as far as generally it's percentages. We've established what the relationships are with their kids or other family members or other organizations that they want to receive an inheritance, and so we have them sign that plan. Now the plan is in place. Then what we have to do next, the third step, is to make sure that the map, what I call it is a treasure map of all of their assets, the inheritance that they're going to pass on, is easily findable and can be navigated, can be followed by the successor that they put in their place, in their shoes. And so I look at it from somebody that has no idea about their assets, and I say, okay, you've got listed here bank account in Washington. I need to see that statement. Once I see the statement, I'm going to list out the last four digits of the bank account number, where that branch is, where it's last located, and your children are going to be able to find it.
Right.
And so as we put that all together, they go home and they sleep better.
Sure.
They have that clear conscience that they have not left a mess for their family to fight over when they pass away. And that's what we do. And it takes good attitude. It takes preparation and perspiration. That's all the time that we have for today. If you want to visit us online to see our seminar, because we're not doing them in public, go to yumaestateplanning.com or give us a call. We do phone consultations. We also do personal consultations, but you have to make the appointment in advance, and we'll bring you into a sterilized room or clean room. And the number is 928-783-75 or 4575. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.